You're listening to a podcast from 702.
This time we focus on political stories you cannot ignore, you should not ignore. And really one of the big questions for this week, for the last few months, has been, so are advocates Nomgcobo Jiba and Lawrence Mkhwebi fit to hold office? That's the question with which the Mokgoro Commission has been seized. It's the one they have to answer. Yesterday, it wrapped up its oral hearings as counsel for the two embattled NPA officials made closing arguments. Circumstantial evidence, a mess they inherited. There was no capture at the NPA, no evidence of abuse of power or the furtherance of political agendas by the two, they argued. Will retired Judge Yvonne Mokgoro buy that? Well, somebody who's been keeping an eye on all the proceedings there is EWN senior reporter Barry Bateman, who joins us now on the line. Barry, good morning to you. Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday to you too, Bongani.
All right, the lawyers are saying, listen, it's all part of a narrative to discredit the two. For example, they name a number of situations. They say that the two couldn't have possibly influenced, including the decision not to charge Zuma. That was made by Mokotedi Mchair. So how on earth can you blame them, they argue?
Yeah, quite right. And, you know, we're listening to Norman Arendt, who is the counsel for Nomgcobo Jiba, saying that all these allegations, all this that's been swirling around his client, can be best described as a conspiracy theory. And he says, once you tackle this conspiracy theory and you search for the facts, if you support this claim that she was involved in political meddling, abusing the power of the NPA to neutralize enemies of former President Jacob Zuma, you know, once you start looking for the facts to support that claim, there is nothing there to support it. He said that she has been caught in what has been successive leadership changes in the NPA, and as a result of that instability, there has been this perception of malfeasance that has been executed within the organization, and his client has been implicated by association in what's been happening there. He says there's simply no evidence to support the claim that she was assisting President Jacob Zuma or Richard Mdluli for that matter, and once the inquiry looks for those facts, it can only reach the conclusion that their client is certainly fit and proper to hold those positions.
There was also scathing of witnesses Glynis Breitenbach and Willy Hofmeyr, saying again there was no evidence for what they asserted in terms of bad faith, decisions made in bad faith, ulterior motives. He says they were based purely on gut feeling.
Yeah, and that was one of the evidence of Glynis Breitenbach when it referred to when the decision was made by Mr. Mkhwebi to withdraw the case against Richard Mdluli. And Breitenbach had testified that, you know, she had immediately realized that there was going to be attempts to ensure that this man doesn't make it into a court for prosecution. And she was questioned, on what do you base that? And you know, her answer was to the effect of, you know, she's been doing this long enough, she understands the system, and she just had this feeling, you know, that things weren't going to go as planned. She almost put it like you have to look at the bigger picture and the context of the way things were happening. Well, it was argued that this isn't enough to amount to evidence against his client that she was involved in this particular matter. But, you know, during Jiba's evidence, she was quite scathing as well of Breitenbach and Willy Hofmeyr, saying that there was this resentment from these two people because as a professional black African woman, she had ascended to that position of acting national director of public prosecution. They simply didn't like the fact that they now had to report to her. So making it out that these people had it in for her, there was a grudge and there was resentment.
And also, I mean, one of the issues that has always been swirling around is the idea that Jiba's husband got a presidential pardon. One of the arguments now being presented is that that happened a year before she became acting NDPP. So again, she couldn't have influenced that.
You're quite right. Looking at the timelines, and it was presented, the suggestion that there was almost a payback for President Jacob Zuma, that she, you know, President Jacob Zuma had pardoned her, and then she had this ascendancy up into the acting national director of public prosecutions. Well, the argument being that, you know, you simply cannot join the dots. We've heard that term enough going around in state capture circles, but you simply can't join the dots to link the two, that there was this quid pro quo relationship between Advocate Nomgcobo Jiba and the former president.
So here it is. In a way, you could argue that all those arguments are to be expected from her counsel. What do you think? I mean, what's your sense? What does Yvonne Mokgoro have to weigh here?
Well, you're quite right. I think there were significant persuasive arguments submitted yesterday morning by Freedom Under Law. Before we even got to the closing arguments, they made submissions, which I thought were quite strong. And what their argument was, forget about all this evidence that you've heard in the last month. Look at what you already have. And they referred to the various judgments and adverse judicial findings that have been made against Jiba and Mgwebi over the last 6 years. And he said, once you apply the case law to these adverse findings, the conclusion you will reach is that these people are simply not fit nor proper to hold office. So I think there was a considerably persuasive case made there. But of course, the evidence leaders are going to submit their final submissions next week, and they will be doing that in writing. They said they needed more time to be able to do this. But I think there they will go and identify any contradictions or discrepancies in what has been submitted in those various court cases I just referred to over the years, and what they presented now in oral evidence. And we understand that there are certain contradictions. There was no great contradiction when it came to the cross-examination of Jiba. I thought she actually did quite well under cross-examination. But Lawrence Mgwebi, for example, it did appear that the decision, against all odds, it looked like somebody who bent over backwards to ensure that Richard Mgwebi never made it to court. That has been found by courts already, and the decision to withdraw that case against Mgwebi has been reviewed and set aside. But I think that is a significant challenge for Lawrence Mgwebi, and I think they will find against him.
Will they survive? I mean, what happens if they were to be exonerated, if they don't find against them, Barry?
Well, there is still the possibility. I mean, if you look at Nomthoba Jiba, she's one of the deputy national directors. We've got a new national director, Shamila Batoy. She still has discretion on whether or not to retain certain people in that top echelon of the NPA. I seriously doubt, even if they are exonerated, that she would probably retain any of those current top prosecutors there, including Willy Hofmeyr. I think his days up there are numbered, as well as Silas Ramahite. So I think if they do go back to the NPA, I doubt they will retain their positions as they have over the last couple of years.
All right, we'll leave it there with EWN senior reporter Barry Bateman. Listen, whatever you make of the outcome of these inquiries, yet again, we've got another one. Just like we saw with the Nugent inquiry, we've seen a swift wrap-up of processes. That can only be good for democracy.